Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Irvin. And good morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you a portion of my dissertation research entitled Evaluation of Irrigation Sensors for Long-Term and Potential Water Savings. By means of introduction, I want to start out by showing you a photograph of an all too common and also unfortunate situation we often see as scientists and industry professionals, and that is misuse and improper irrigation practices when it comes to watering lawns. In addition to that, research has tried to address the question and figure out a solution and ways we can better resolve this issue. A paper put out by Dr. Bremer and his colleagues in 2012 observed that with homeowners with automated in-ground irrigation systems certainly water more frequently than those without in-ground automatic irrigation and apply water at unknown amounts. Additionally, Dr. Caro tried to, in his research, address the question, can we maintain turf to customer satisfaction using less water? And within his research, he observed that there really is no silver bullet solution. However, it is all the more imperative to use site-specific best management practices, which include, but we're not limited to, efficient irrigation system design, improved irrigation scheduling, and properly educating the homeowner. And so one of the ways that we can accomplish meet these best management practices is by using irrigation sensors, which involve rain sensors and soil moisture sensors. To begin with, I would like to share with you some information about rain sensors. Many of you may be already familiar with these. They've been around in existence for a number of years. These essentially bypass irrigation at a set rainfall threshold. These are attached to an existing irrigation timer, and most of them work with any of the commonly used irrigation controllers that a homeowner or commercial lawn system setup would have. They use hygroscopic cork discs, which is shown at the bottom right, which essentially expand upon wetting or rainfall. This triggers a signal back to the irrigation timer to bypass the scheduled irrigation. You can adjust the threshold of which it suspends scheduled irrigation on the top of the rain sensor, which is what the top arrow indicates. And it usually has a setting of amount of rainfall in millimeters to where you would want to bypass the scheduled irrigation. Additionally, there is a window underneath the threshold setting area that can control the amount of time it takes for those sensors to dry out and therefore allow scheduled irrigation to resume. Soil moisture sensors, while already popular in many golf courses and sports fields, are now becoming more and more available for homeowners to install and to purchase and to install with an existing commonly used residential irrigation controller. And these work similar to the soil moisture sensors we see in golf courses and sports fields, where they measure volumetric water content and bypass scheduled irrigation based upon the amount of soil moisture there where the turf is. When the volumetric water content is above a certain threshold, it keeps the irrigation timer in a bypass mode, not allowing the scheduled irrigation to occur. Only when it falls below a certain threshold does it allow the scheduled irrigation to occur, and therefore it conserves water all the other times. Previous research has been conducted in Florida looking at rain sensors and soil moisture sensors. A lot of this has come out of Dr. Kadrinus Leohacker and Dr. Michael Dukes' research looking at rain sensors and soil moisture sensors. And they found a number of savings with rain sensors in terms of ranges and under various weather conditions, and also with soil moisture sensors as well, with even greater savings observed using those devices. But it's important to point out also, within all of these studies, all the treatments that did work throughout the season, trial periods, maintained acceptable turf grass quality. So that led to the question for us, well, what would we observe in a situation, in a different environment, in a different situation with finer textured soils in Fayetteville, Arkansas? So the objectives of our research is to evaluate the use of rain sensors and soil moisture sensors in regards to their water savings and the influence that they would have on turf grass aesthetics in a humid transition zone environment with finer textured soils. So moving into the materials and methods, my experimental area was on a common Bermuda grass mowed twice weekly, and our soil was a Cappuccino silt loam, again, a more finer textured soil than would be found in Florida. We fertilized our turf using best management practices set for our region, and we had a final early fall application using a slow-release nitrogen fertilizer. Our scheduled irrigation, our irrigation treatments, we had two rain sensor treatments, two soil moisture treatments, and a control treatment where no sensor was utilized. Under the control treatment, I was scheduled irrigation in twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, applying a total of the recommended 2.5 centimeters or 1 inch of water per week. Each of the plots were independently watered with 400 MP rotator nozzles. These plots were 3.7 by 3.7 meters in size. All of our soil moisture sensors were calibrated independently in terms of how they were set up straight out of the box, and we did not have the same allowed water and threshold for each of the soil moisture sensors. We just allowed each of them to calibrate and set at that threshold level independently. And that is similar to the bottom point as well, with the allowed water and volumetric water content threshold independent of the other replications under the soil moisture sensor treatments. So this is a controller board that represents the 20 treatments. We had the five irrigation treatments. Each of them were replicated four times. And on the top of the controller board is where I located my rain sensors. This is a photograph showing the independence of how we watered our plots, with each one being connected to its own respective controller. And so, therefore, we weren't using just one or whole plot irrigation. These were all individually or independently watered with a single controller. So again, these are what the rain sensors look like at the top of the post. We used two rain sensors in this study, the Rainbird RSD-BEX and the Hunter MiniClick. Both of these are wired units, and they each have adjustable thresholds and dryout windows. Our thresholds were set at the lowest setting at 3.2 millimeters or 1/8 of an inch. The first soil moisture sensor that I want to share with you, our treatment, is the Rainbird Smarty. It's a soil moisture sensor installed about 8 to 10 centimeters below the turf grass, right below the root zone. It's wired back to the solenoid valve, and then the diamond-shaped device next to our irrigation controller, it is wired back to the solenoid, which communicates to the irrigation controller to bypass scheduled irrigation. The Toro Precision Soil Sensor is a newer product, come out in, a couple years ago, and it's a wireless unit, and it is just installed right at the soil surface, staked into the ground, and uses two probes about 12 centimeters long to communicate, similar to TDR technology. And then the cell phone-looking device is what it communicates with, and it communicates to the existing irrigation controller to bypass or allow scheduled irrigation to occur. So in terms of data analysis and data collection, we evaluated the sensors for their effect on water savings and also their influence on the aesthetics of the turf grass using visual ratings for turf grass quality and digital image analysis for turf grass color. Our irrigation treatments were arranged in a randomized complete block design with four applications. Our data was subjected to analysis variance using repeated measures and SAS using POC mix, and separated our means using Fisher's protected LSD. And so in terms of our results, and it's important to point out, in the two trial periods from last year and from this year, we have some differences in rainfall in terms of accumulation, but also in frequency. As we see in the early part on the y-axis, the amount of rainfall in millimeters, on the x-axis, the beginning of the trial period. Both trial periods were 17 weeks long in 2015 and in 2016. We had a lot of rain in the early part of the 2015 season, not as much rain cumulatively in 2016. However, we had a greater number of rainfall events in 2016 than we did in 2015, and that will be reflected in the data to follow. So moving into our water usage data, this graph and the following graph are similar in terms of the setup and design. On the y-axis, you have the irrigation applied in millimeters. The x-axis, you have the month, and which would be similar to what a homeowner would see on a utility bill. Their monthly bill is why we divided it up this way. The number in parentheses indicates the number of scheduled irrigation treatments under the control treatment. So each month would sometimes have a different number of Tuesdays and Fridays in it, hence the differences in amount of irrigation applied under the control treatment. But overall, we see from the data significant savings in water, significant reductions in water usage or irrigation applied using the soil moisture sensors. We do see a little bit we do see significant differences with the rain sensors in July for 2015, but is not observed in the other months. The data is similar in 2016 with soil moisture sensors using significantly less amount of water compared to not having an irrigation sensor under the control treatment. As I mentioned before, we had a greater number of rainfall events, even though we did not have cumulative amount of rainfall in 2016, and therefore we saw more frequent, under each month we saw rain sensors have significantly less water use than the control treatment. We don't really have any data to show you in terms of the turf grass aesthetic, because there was not any significant differences that we observed. This is a photo taken on August 18th of this year, and all of our treatments resulted in acceptable turf grass quality. This is a photo of the experimental area. It's very difficult to distinguish which plots are different in terms of aesthetics, including a dark green color and turf grass quality. And so we see that the rainbird smarties have the greatest cumulative amount overall in both trial periods, significantly reducing applied irrigation by 74 and 65% in 2015 and 2016, respectively. The Toro soil sensor significantly reduced irrigation by 62% and 59% in 2015 and 2016, respectively. And the rain sensors behaved similarly in both years, and reducing irrigation by 15 and 26% in 2015 and 2016, respectively. So what does this all of this mean? Well, we see greater monthly savings achieved with soil moisture sensors compared to rain sensors, but we also see both sensors save water significantly compared to not having a sensor at all. It's important that homeowners maintain proper best management practices for the region, and by adhering to those practices while also withholding irrigation, it's potentially sufficient to provide acceptable quality turf depending on soil moisture or significant rainfall. I want to close this morning by putting up a hypothetical scenario, to look at the potential return on investment. Because anytime we start talking about sensors, people want to know how much do these sensors cost. And so if we were to estimate a typical quarter acre lawn, a 0.10 hectare lawn, it would require 25.6 kiloliters of water, basically a little close to 7,000 gallons of water to apply that 25 millimeters of water per week. Within Fayetteville, within our city limits, the cost of water is $1.12 per kiloliter of water. Essentially, it equals out to $4.22 per 1,000 gallons of water used. So what would be the potential return on investment simulating these observed results during a 17-week summer period for a property this size in Fayetteville, Arkansas? So if we were to simulate these results using the no sensors in the second row, with the rain sensor in the third row, and the soil moisture sensor in the bottom row, and we have our estimated amounts of irrigation that we used and the water that we saved, let's look at the cost differences. And the irrigation cost with no sensor, the rain sensor compared to no sensor, was saving about $100. Our manufacturer starting retail price is about $25 on average. So that's a $75 return on investment in 17 weeks. Well, the soil moisture sensors, our irrigation cost is $172 for irrigation. Our cost difference is $315 saved in irrigation. And that return on investment in the 17-week period equals out to about $175 when on average the soil moisture sensors cost about $140. So it's quite a significant impact. It's important to recognize that not only are we trying to show the environmental and sustainability impact of these soil moisture sensors, but also the economic and financial impact. So with that, I'd like to close by thanking these individuals, our technicians in our program, and our entire program as a whole, as well as the industries that cooperated with this research. And with that, I will take any questions you may have. Yes, please.
Have you looked at a sloped lawn and where you would put those moisture meters and how this would influence that?
Dr. Berman asked if we have looked at a sloped lawn and how the slope of that area would affect the installation of these soil moisture sensors. We have not looked at that yet in our experiment, in our study, and there's no information that I am aware of in the literature in each of the respective manuals, but they do give quite an abundance of information within the manuals of where to install the soil moisture sensors in regards to just a regular non-slope property.
One more question.
Yes, Becky. Becky's question was, why were the differences between the Toro precision soil sensor and the Rainbird Smarty soil moisture sensors? Our best estimate right now is that perhaps the Toro precision soil sensor is more conservative and allows scheduled irrigation to occur at a higher volumetric water content threshold compared to the Marienburg Smarty soil moisture sensor. We're working on figuring out some soil moisture release curves and also monitoring at which volumetric water content they come allow scheduled irrigation to occur. That's something we're currently conducting. So.
All right, thanks very much.